If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
What do you think the chances are of ever seeing Tony managing again?
Well, I know he'll always be a manager in his mind. If the opportunity presented itself, the right opportunity, he would take the challenge because that's what he was all about.
Best guess on your end? Yes or no in terms of ever seeing him manage?
No.
That's TV host Graham Benzinger asking Joe Torre last winter if he thought Tony La Russa would ever come back to manage again. Well, here we are, less than a year later, and La Russa is considering jumping back in to manage the White Sox. And here on the White Sox Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust, we're going to share with you signs that when it comes down to it, in the end, it's quite possible that La Russa ends up saying no. Hey everybody, Chuck Garfine here, and as it turns out, Benzinger didn't just interview Torre about La Russa coming back to manage, he also spoke with La Russa himself, as well as his close friends, Jerry Reinsdorf and Dave Dombrowski, who all gave revealing answers about whether they thought La Russa would ever manage again. Now, a lot has changed in the world since then, including Reinsdorf and the Sox now suddenly looking for a manager, and they are reportedly zeroing in on La Russa as one of their main candidates, if not the main candidate. So on the podcast, we're going to play for you what they all said, why La Russa is so intrigued by returning to the dugout, but also why he and his friends had doubts earlier this year that he'll ever manage again, and why they might still have those doubts. So that's today on the White Sox Talk podcast. Here we go.
White Sox, White Sox, go, go, White Sox.
That ball hit deep, way back, deep to left field.
Holy cow, Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead.
Jimenez leaves the ballpark.
You can't put it on the board. Yes!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk podcast. I'm here with Ryan McGuffey and Chris Kampka on the podcast. And guys, first let me say, the idea of Tony La Russa coming back to manage the White Sox is right in my wheelhouse, because all I need at this point is to bring back Dave Duncan and Jim Leland. You sign Carlton Fisk and Greg Luzinski, and the 10-year-old Chuck Garfine is in White Sox heaven. So I love the idea of talking about Tony La Russa in 2020, although sometimes it might be better if it was like 1986 and not 2020, as Guff is shaking his head. But I'm going to get to some more of my thoughts about Tony La Russa and the validity of all of this. But Chris, we have not gotten your thoughts about the idea of Tony La Russa possibly, potentially, maybe not, returning to the dugout for the White Sox. What do you think?
Oh, so you hear the news, it's like, wait a minute, this makes no sense, because I just saw a press conference. Rick Hondry said he wants a manager with recent championship managing experience, and this is like the opposite of that. Last managed in 2011, year Mike Trout was making his major league debut. That's not recent. But then you take a step back and you say, okay, he would be a step up. I think he would be an upgrade over Renteria tactically. Now, working with people, maybe not. So you at least have that. And it's like a 10-time improvement over what Robin Ventura would have been, say, in 2011. So the resume is there, but the timing is off. That's about it.
Okay. Well, the thought of him managing the White Sox, it got me thinking about who are my favorite Chicago managers/head coaches in my life. And I thought about it, and they're all Mavericks. They're all Wizards. It's Ozzie Guillen. It's Phil Jackson. It's, I'll say, Mike Ditka, Mike Keenan, and La Russa. Like, these guys.
Joel Quenneville's not on your list?
Oh, yeah, and Joel Quenneville. I mean, is he a Wizard, though? Is he a Maverick? Like, I'm talking about his personality, like his brain. But, yeah, I guess there is. Yeah, you're
guys
probably right about that.
It's like to have a beer with the Chicago sports managerial coaching history. He's number 1A.
Well, I'm not talking about having a beer. I'm talking about a guy who you get him in a game and his in-game, you know, mayhem in his mind. His, you know, Tom Thibodeau is a little bit like that, too. La Russa has this kind of, like, mad genius mentality, and even at his age I feel like that still exists for him. But it's arguable. I'm sure there are a lot of people listening going, like, come on, Tony La Russa, he's 76 years old, but he's got that idea. And you talked to enough people about him, and we're going to hear on the podcast, like, the guy still has it. The people who know him best, he still has it. But is it going to be the right fit for this team? That's a whole other topic, and I agree with you. And from the sounds of it, he and everyone close to him, at least earlier in this year or a year ago, had reservations about Tony La Russa coming back and managing anywhere.
Look, a lot of people still have it. You know, there are people who retire from not professional sports, but let's keep to professional sports. A lot of guys walk out at the top of their game, whether it's managers, head coaches, players. Some don't. A lot don't. But whether he has it or not, to me, is not important. It's about whether he fits in with this team in 2021, not even 2020, 2021. And the answer to me, quite frankly, is no. And piggybacking off of what Chris said, it doesn't line up with what Rick Hahn said a week ago. That's our reference section, is Rick Hahn's one-hour press conference. And he did not describe Tony La Russa. Now, it doesn't mean they won't hire him or can't hire him. It's just not who Rick described. So that press conference would include, in my opinion, it should include a good 10 minutes of walking down that path as to why is this hire something you didn't describe when you made the change from Rick Renteria.
Yeah, well, my guess is that that's what Rick Hahn wants, but Jerry Reinsdorf would prefer somebody else, or at least what he told, or if it was him who told that to Bob Nightingale. We don't know who the source was. It just sounds like it was Jerry Reinsdorf.
Look, we know who the other candidates are that are out there, like the elephant in the room of AJ Hinch and Alex Cora. And it looks like it's probably not Alex Cora. So let's just say it's AJ Hinch. So if I'm the owner of said team that's worried about my reputation, AJ Hinch would certainly, when I go to bed at night and I'd feel good about getting somebody that is available like that, that you think is talented like that, that you can get, that makes you happy. But at the same point, anything that you're worried about from a PR standpoint, like, you're going to have to answer some tough questions at that press conference if you hire AJ Hinch. So if you're Jerry Reinsdorf, making a change from somebody you really loved in terms of what kind of person he was, that's Rick Renteria. They love the guy. And you're looking for, at this point now, somebody that can get you over the hump and put you into the World Series. As we tape this now with the World Series starting, you know, on Tuesday, that's the guy you want. And again, you might have to be uncomfortable with a comfortable decision or a comfortable choice. And you might be, you know, Bob Nightingale told you, Chuck, and I thought this is something to consider, and it's probably what Jerry's considering. You know, there are books and documentaries being produced and written as we speak about the Houston Astros. And if there's any doubt that AJ Hinch, if there's some dark secret that's going to be uncovered, you know, you got to be right. No matter, you got to be right if you hire Tony La Russa, you got to be right if you don't, and you got to be right if you hire AJ Hinch. So,
yeah, I mean,
oh, go ahead, Chris.
I mean, so you have, it's kind of making me think, is this some kind of a diversionary tactic when the name is dropped? And where's that coming from?
I don't think so. I think that's just
all right. So then
that's a moving conspiracy.
Moving on from that, it's like, okay, talk to Tony La Russa. Talk to as many people as you can. Because I remember the hire of Renteria, my first thought was he just went for the most convenient possible hire. Great.
They didn't interview anybody else, I don't think. It was just Rick Renteria.
Right. So if you're just gonna talk to La Russa, and then talk to everybody else, okay, that's fine. But then the name La Russa in and of itself harkens back to White Sox making comfortable hires of guys they're familiar with. And another thing that clashed with Rick Hontz is probably going to come outside the organization. And La Russa is right now outside the organization, but historically he's not. So
I would say he's very much outside the organization. He hasn't been a part of it in 35
no
years.
No way. Come Absolutely on. Not. Come on. What do you mean, come on? Jerry's one of his best friends.
Yeah. So Tony La Russa has had zero fingerprints on the White Sox in 35 years.
But that relationship
with I'm with Chris. He's an uncle, man. He's an uncle. You may have never employed him in the last 35 years, but don't think there haven't been conversations or dinners or.
Okay, you know what those conversations are probably? Tony La Russa is saying, I disagree with this. I disagree with that. What are you doing with this? I know for a fact he's spoken very frankly to people with the White Sox at times saying, what are you doing? What's this?
Yeah.
What's that? I disagree with this. I vividly remember in 2005, I'm interviewing Tony La Russa at Wrigley Field over something else I was doing. Oh, it was about looking back at the 1983 White Sox. This was when the White Sox were in a major tailspin near the end of the year. And he said to me off camera, what is going on with Ozzy? What is going on with the White Sox? He's going to ruin what has been, you know, he was just very upset with the way the White Sox were playing. So, I mean, he's been critical of what's been going on, but he doesn't have any say in, like, hey, sign this guy, do this, do that. And if he has said it, you know, he might have offered his advice, but he was not in-house. His fingerprints are nowhere near this team.
He's a distant relative, man. Like, he's a distant relative. So, he's part of the family.
Part of the family is one thing, but he hasn't had any effect.
If Rick said they're going outside the family. Like, that's not outside the family. It's a distant relative. No way.
Okay. All right. Well, all this talk we're having here, and yet, from the sounds of it, as we're going to play this sound from Tony La Russa, Jerry Reinsdorf, and Dave Dombrowski, it certainly feels like as much as Tony La Russa would love the idea of going back and managing again, he's got some serious, he has, and his friends have serious reservations about him actually going ahead and doing it. So Graham Benzinger hosts a syndicated TV interview show. It's called In Depth with Graham Benzinger. He gets incredible guests. I mean, everyone from Steph Curry to Mike Tyson to Jim Brown to Ray Lewis. He recently interviewed Tom Hanks. He profiled La Russa about a year ago, and there's a segment in the show where he's talking to him and his friends about possibly returning to the game to manage. And in this first segment we're going to play for you, Graham is talking to La Russa, and La Russa admits he almost returned to the dugout last off season, and he discloses a few other things in it, and we'll talk about it after we hear it. So here is Graham Benzinger with Tony La Russa. Roll tape.
Somebody close to you told me you miss managing. How true?
I missed the immediacy of the game. I missed the whole thing of pulling the team together from day one, making them a true brotherhood, competing to see if you can get to October and see how far you can get. I miss that. So I miss the competition, but I don't miss it so much that I want to go back.
I understand you might have come close this offseason to considering going back to managing. Why'd you decide against it?
It's not your age that dictates whether you should manage. We had a very proactive coaching staff, great coaches that really embraced information. We believe in its place. And what's happened is the game is being overwhelmed by percentages and numbers. And the value of the coaches, scouts, and observational analytics, you know, you watch and you see, it's being disrespected. So the game is really not as entertaining right now. Percentages don't take into account the head, the heart, and the guts of a player that day. So there are times you say, man, I'd like to get back and help correct the balance. That's you know, sometimes you, after you watch a game, man, I'd like to get back because I know they're playing the game correctly. You'll win more than what they're doing now. but I'm not managing, so it's not strong enough to where I go back.
How close were you?
Put it this way. Pitching coach Dave Duncan, greatest pitching coach in the history of the game. He's in Tucson. And I kind of ran by, hey, Duncan, you want to come back? He said, I can't. If Duncan had said yes, then it would be possible. But Dunk said no. If he had come back, I'd have probably asked Arizona, let me take Dave McKay. Dave Duncan and I were together 29 years. McKay and I were 26. I would need that supporting cast like I always had. Believe me, I wasn't a good enough manager to do it without them.
Okay, guys, a few things to discuss after hearing that. So first off, he needs Dave Duncan. He needs his coaches for his maverick managing, I think, to work, and he knows that. So on the surface, it sounds like if he's not going to get Dave Duncan, I don't think he's coming back, period. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree, but I think that's an extension of what we said in the last podcast. And Dave Duncan, the one thing about Dave Duncan, the one caveat, and it's clear that in that interview that he said, Duncan, no, I can't. I think that's what he said. No, I can't. That was Dave Duncan's response to him when he called. But Dave Duncan is employed by the White Sox.
But is he, though? I remember it happened, and I haven't seen one thing mentioned about him since. Almost as if it's like he might be employed, but what's he actually doing? I'm confused by that one.
He's a pitching consultant. He's a pitching consultant for the Chicago White Sox.
Yes. That was in 2018 or something?
Yep, February 2018.
Everything I'm reading here is he's still the guy.
Okay. So,
whether or not he's not anymore, he's most recently employed by the Chicago White Sox, which is kind of interesting and noteworthy. But again, you know, he's 75. You talk about like Tony La Russa still has it. Well, maybe Dave Duncan doesn't. Like maybe the idea and a lot of that talk about the grind and all of that stuff that could catch up to a guy, because it's not about the age and whether or not Tony La Russa may have, you know, there's people who had 101 die and can still drive. Like those, like, you know what I mean? Like maybe Tony La Russa is that guy in terms of managerial mind, and maybe Dave Duncan, like health toll, even the game a little bit, but I don't know. I'm just making up stuff here, but he definitely needs his crony. Like, that's why I'm such an advocate. What Chris said, no problem talking to Tony La Russa. As a matter of fact, there's no reason not to, but the best I can offer him is either he gets out of his contract with the Angels and you hire him as a special advisor, or you bring him on as a bench coach. And there's no way Tony La Russa is coming on as a bench coach.
Yeah, special advisor is fine. I think that's fine. I think it's kind of like when you have coaches and managers, you usually have this good cop, bad cop thing where if you get rid of one, you bring in the opposite. So if you bring in La Russa, he says he wants to kind of bring the balance back away from analytics. So that's what Renteria pretty much was too.
Well, okay, sorry to interrupt you, but go ahead. Okay. Go ahead, Chris.
And in the case of Duncan, you're looking for, you know, probably a newer, younger voice. And you had Don Cooper who, a little outdated in his methods, maybe. So you don't want to get a guy who's even older. So I don't think that just doesn't fit.
Matt Zaleski makes way too much sense as the next pitching coach to me. I mean – He makes way.
I don't know. That seems like a gamble to me for a team that wants to win, someone who's never been in the majors before.
There's so many of those guys that have never, like Tommy Hotovy. Like, there's so many guys that have never, as a pitching coach, have never made it. What did Don Cooper do?
The odds are very strongly that you're going to get a guy who has no previous major league pitching coach experience. And right. I think that's fine because the game is headed away from that. Now, the game is headed towards a direction where you bring in more outside the box candidates who might have ties to things like Driveline and things like that, rather than your traditional, regular, professional pitching coach.
Do you know? Hey Chuck, can you name the Tampa Bay Rays pitching coach?
I cannot.
Yeah, like that happens to be Kyle Snyder.
All right, so I know they think very, very highly of Matt Zaleski. Okay, I know that for a fact. I'm just not sure if you're ready to win. Do you bring in a pitching coach who's never been to the majors before? I asked the question, don't know the answer. So there we go. My thought on, Renteria apparently was against some of the analytics. And if Tony La Russa wants to bring a balance back to it. Okay, I have to listen to what he's saying and hear that out. But also, I'd like to think that Tony La Russa's baseball instincts and baseball experience is superior to Rick Renteria's. So,
well, his baseball experience and instinct from baseball 10 years ago.
Agreed.
Well, okay. All right, so I asked Ron Kittle, what made him a great manager, Tony La Russa? He goes, he's a smart baseball guy. He surrounded himself with great coaches. He used stats and percentages before everyone was using the current stats. He knows baseball as good as anyone. So, you know, listen, obviously he was playing for him years and years and years ago, but you're not going to find anybody who says, even today, that Tony La Russa is a relic. But yeah. He also said, I'm not sure he could handle the bat flips and the show-off BS in the game today. So that's what he said.
Oh, sorry. If he can't handle the BS, turn on a different game because it needs it. Cody Bellinger's homer in game 7 of the NLCS, like, give me that all day, injected into my veins. It wasn't even a bat flip. It was a bat drop with 5 walking steps. There's a man who knew in the moment that was a big thing. If that's BS and you can't handle it, then guess what? Recent success is most important here. And 2011 is not recent success. And if that's BS and that's not your type of player, the most important player on your team is Tim Anderson. And he's a guy who's trying to make baseball cool, trying to make baseball fun and hip for young kids like mine who think watching a game for 3 hours or 4 hours in this case is boring. So that's BS to guys that played the game or coached the game. I have zero interest in hiring you.
Okay, so
yeah. – Yeah.
Now that was Tony. That was not Tony La Russa talking there. That was Ron Kittle thinking that La Russa might feel that way. So,
and I said that last week. I thought the same thing. He has a problem with that stuff. Respect that. You know what? Respect this. No.
Guff's just firing at me. I'm just bringing up stuff, and it's like I'm Tony La Russa all of a sudden.
I'm not. That wasn't for you, Chuck. It was for those who think it's BS. You know.
It's, well, I mean, look. You had an incident that final series of the year where Cordero plunked a guy, and everyone was in uproar saying, isn't this a team that says change the game?
Yep.
Well, you can't bring in a manager who's almost a poster child or poster senior citizen for don't change the game.
Correct.
And that's kind of what Tony La Russa kind of seems to be.
Right.
So it's just too much of a styles clash.
Part of me was hoping.
One more thing. Can you possibly imagine Tony La Russa talking to Tim Anderson after something he disagrees with or talking to Eloy Jimenez? I can't.
No.
That would be uncomfortable.
Part of me was rooting, and I don't think it would have happened, but part of me was rooting for the Braves to win game 7 because just out of the small chance that Dave Roberts was kicked to the curb and made available, that to me would have been fun. And would have been a smart hire, but
yeah, I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about coaching candidates.
I thought about it, Chuck.
Dave Roberts might be on this list.
I slept on that one. I slept on that one, and I really liked it. And I don't know if he would have got canned, but it would have been. I think it would have made Jerry probably sleep a little bit better. You know, knowing that a guy like that was.
I think, depending on how that series, if they lost in 5 games.
Yeah,
he would have lost his job. There's just too much at stake. That team, they spend so much money. They're so talented, and they haven't won a World Series since 1988. I think that would have been a very realistic situation where he would have. Well, shoot, what if they lose the World Series now that they made it to the World Series? It's tough to fire him now.
I think it's tough to fire him. Came back from 3-1. Yeah,
that's a tasty proposition. Dave Roberts, a very. Very nice candidate.
Yeah. All right. So we do all this talking about this. I still feel like when you hear what these guys are saying, he's going to eventually decide he's not going to go down this road. So let's hear from Dave Dombrowski and Jerry Reinsdorf. Okay. Benziger spoke with Dombrowski, who he was Roland Heeman's assistant GM when La Russa was the manager. He then hired La Russa as his special assistant in Boston, and they won a World Series in 2018 in the front office together. So he asked Benziger asked Dombrowski and Reinsdorf. This is earlier this year, or it was last winter. Asked Dombrowski and Reinsdorf if they thought that Tony La Russa would ever come back to manage again, here's what they said.
Oh, that's a great question. You know, we've talked about it a little bit. And the way I would describe it is, it would depend upon his health. And because he has the knowledge and he has the communication skills to handle the game. And you see, Jack McKean went back a few years ago, managed till he was 80, they won a world championship with him. But I think what is challenging for somebody like Tony and Jim Leland when he stepped away at that is the off-field stuff. It's the travel. It's all that's involved in that. It's dealing with all the other issues, the media issues, the little things that take place. He's had a bad hip. It's been hard for him, but I know he's having surgery. And I think if he came back and that felt good and he was able to move around, it wouldn't surprise me if he took an opportunity for another year some point.
Yes or no?
I would say no.
Okay.
Best guess. But it wouldn't shock me.
Managing, it just takes an awful lot out of you. There's nothing else for him to accomplish. He's won 3 World Series and he's in the Hall of Fame. And so there's no reason to go back to managing and have to try to deal with people who are 22 years old when you're 75 years old.
All right, guys, so that's interesting. Jerry Reinsdorf saying there's no reason for him to come back to managing. Now, he may have also said this because he didn't want him to go manage anyone else but the White Sox, but it's just interesting to see where things have gone and evolved since then. And I'm wondering, just hearing Dombrowski and Reinsdorf talk there, that even they themselves have reservations about La Russa coming back to manage.
But it's also very possible that maybe minds could have been changed over the course of a very, very strange year in which a lot of people have changed their minds, a lot of things, multiple times over. So even a few months removed from this, it's possible that maybe Reinsdorf feels differently now. Or maybe you're absolutely right to say, oh, yeah, I don't think he could do it, just to make people say, oh, yeah, I agree with you, I'm not going to do it. But then deep down, he's like, you know what, maybe he can.
We give a hat tip to Bobito or Bobito, who our Twitter follower that pointed this out to us, because yes. I get that that's deserved. Because Chuck, you and I watched this clip together, and Jerry's like the most definitive of everybody that's interviewed that's not named Tony La Russa in this piece. Walt Jocketty's also interviewed. Jerry's kind of like, why? Like, what? Basically talking exactly what you would do, talking about exactly what you were talking about, Chris, about the, imagine him going up to Tim Anderson after a great home run and a bat flip, and he's going to go, hey, well, let's talk about the bat flip. Like, why? What's the point? And that's, I totally agree. If we were just talking about managing a baseball game, I'll take Tony La Russa. Like, I haven't said that on the podcast. If we're literally just talking about innings 1 through 9 or extra innings, give me Tony La Russa.
And I'm with you, because you know what? I want those brains. I want the brain. I want it.
That's a guy who knows what the hell's going on. I like what he talked about, the balance of the pendulum. He wasn't talking about taking the analytics out of the game. He likes them. It was more of just like that graph of you're doing something, too much of this way, then you pull it all the way back to, now you're doing it too much that way. He wants to get it back in the middle, which I agree with. I want that Tony La Russa. However, unfortunately for Tony La Russa in 2021, that's not what it's about anymore. Like, there are so much external things that have to happen, all of the intangibles that he would have to do, that I'm not quite, even if he was a great manager, by the end of 2021, it just may catch up to him. And he's like, you know what? I'm out. And it was a 1-year Tony La Russa experiment. And then what? Like, here you are with great candidates available now, and now you're back to the drawing board in 2021 because you gave it a whirl. And after 1 year, Tony La Russa was like, that was fun. It's exactly what I wanted to do. I got everything I needed to get out of it. But it's just the grind is too much.
Here's what right. I think. Go ahead, Chris.
If you're looking to bring in a new guy, you want to bring in a guy that says, okay, we want this guy to cover our entire window of contention. Tony La Russa, can you pilot? I mean, he says ideally you think you'd want to go year to year. I think is what I read. You don't want that right now at all. You want a guy to say, I want a guy to cover the entire window of contention. So
that's 5 years, hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, Russo's not going to manage 5 years.
No. One thing I was going to add was the red flags to me are so glaring and obvious that they will end up being discussed. Number one is this, like you brought up. Well, I don't know if it's number one, but here's one. The Tim Anderson factor. Okay. So they're all going to get in a room. Rick Hahn will have to think, okay, so the leader of this team or one of the leaders of this team is Tim Anderson, who bad flips. He is new school. He represents new school. We are considering someone who, to a certain degree or a large degree, represents old school. We need to talk about this. And if you are not going to allow Tim Anderson to be Tim Anderson, this will be a problem for our team. Maybe we should not consider this. So I, even though, you know, he's listed reportedly as like, it's his job to lose. You know, I'd like to think that when it comes down to getting together and talking about all this, and even if he, it's, if it came to the point where Tony La Russa says, you know what, I'm ready, I want to do this. These are things that we need to fix and discuss even before we offer you a job. And I think that that's a big problem if he's not going to let – and Eloy Jimenez be Eloy Jimenez. So
yeah, I think I'm a big believer in pros and cons lists when you have a big decision in your life. And, you know, sleeping on that and coming back to it and really out – like really weighing the pros and the cons. The pros are really, really strong. It's not like the pros are bad. His, like Chris, you mentioned the resume early on. We know what his resume is. One of the best to ever sit in that seat, ever.
I mean, there's two guys ever with more managerial wins. Two?
Yeah, I mean.
And they've been dead for a long time.
These guys manage over 5,000 games. Like, let's put that into perspective. However, the weight of those red flags, Chuck, just – it's the weight of those cons, in this case, outweigh the pros. And even if you – like, you better be damn convinced that if he figures out a way to talk you into, like, hey, I can manage this and I can do this and I can change my ways for this and Tim Anderson, all this stuff, you better be right. I just don't know if Tony La Russa were doing a pros and cons list. I'm not sure his pros outweigh the cons. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think they're starting to outweigh him. I think it's cons more because here's Dennis.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not sure his pros outweigh his cons.
Oh, right. You're right. Exactly. I think the pros for him to manage are big and he feels it, but I think the cons are creeping up. Like here's Dennis Eckersley, who was his closer with the A's back in the 80s and I think even into the early 90s. And he was on the radio, I think it was WEEI in Boston. And he said that he spoke to La Russa last week. And Eckersley said, the White Sox are the only team he'd consider managing. And this is a quote from Eckersley. My gut tells me either he won't do it or the White Sox will decide no.
And that's the guy who just talked to him. And
yeah,
has an unbelievable relationship with him. So, you know, talk to Jim Leland, talk to Ryan Gardenhire, talk to Tony La Russa, talk to all of these guys that have been great for a long time. Get all the knowledge you can about the guys you want to hire and the organizations that are the best and pick from those organizations, you know?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with getting perspective from former championship managers.
And maybe you're going to get a name from one of these outside organizations with recent championship success that we're not even talking about yet. And the hire is going to be made and you're going to say something like, who the hell is Kyle Snyder? And then you're going to realize he's a pitching coach of the Tampa Bay Rays who are in the World Series. And you're going to have to live with it. And you're going to, like, that's why you talk to smart, brilliant people inside and outside your organization.
All right, let me say this, that I am actually very happy that the White Sox have wanted to or have talked. I don't know where things are at right now in their discussions. I'm just glad that they are talking to Tony La Russa. I really am. Because compared to the last time around where they didn't talk to anybody, but let's open this thing up. We have this jewel of a baseball team that needs a great manager. Let's look and find the best manager that we can find. Is it Tony La Russa? Well, they may find out, you know what, this is not the best situation, but we're going to go down the road and figure it out. I think where I have a problem with this is it is literally, 10 minutes after Renteria loses his job and this report comes out and it says La Russa is like, it's his job to lose. Like, it should never be that way. Like, come on. And if it is that way, keep that private. We don't want that out there because, look, we're all going crazy over this whole thing.
And that's the stuff I wonder if Tony La Russa can live with, because it wasn't this bad in 2011 When he left the game, it was just starting, like Twitter had, was really just starting to take off. Like, can he live with that? One thing is not even, like, you haven't even boxed up one thing and the rumor mill is swirling over here. I don't know. Like, the first time he gets frustrated about that stuff, how will he respond, react? You know, and again, I go back to what Jerry said. Why? I know it's because, like, look, there are things I want to do in my life that I did when I was 20. I really wish I could, you know, race somebody, like line up somebody next. I guess I could. I wish I could put my, like, my football pads back on and go hit somebody across the middle. But, like, I can't. And it's okay. Like, you have to find other ways to channel that. You're going to spend the rest of your life never – it's Tony La Russa's got to find a way. And that's why he stayed in the game. He stayed in the game because it – would eat him up if he just retired and walked away. So I give him credit for that. He's just going to have to figure out ways to channel that other stuff, just like everybody does in their life.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you just need to find a guy who's more relatable to the younger players. And consider these few things that I jotted down. Number one, he managed Manny Minoso. He managed the White Sox
barely for one game.
Oh my God.
Come on.
He managed the White Sox before Harold Baines made his major league debut.
Well, that's true.
And how about this one? Get a mental picture of Casey Stengel. Looks like a really grizzled old man. Well, Tony La Russa is older than Stengel was in his last major league game managed. And Sparky Anderson, he's 15 years older than Sparky Anderson was in his last major league game, and he looked like he was 105.
On. Well, I'll say this about Tony La Russa. If he comes back to manage, I want him to wear the 83 throwback uniform every single game.
And I was just going to say this, Chuck. The one thing from the 1983 season we need is the uniforms, not the manager.
By the way, I need to point out, someone sent that tweet to me that he should manage with the 83 uniforms. Or he can do the 79 disco uniforms, the disco pajamas. That's another one. He managed when they were wearing the disco pajamas in the 70s.
100% right.
You're just building. The Manny Minoso one is the ultimate. That's phenomenal.
He could manage the team. And he managed Steve Stone. You know, he managed against Steve Stone in 1980 when he won the Cy Young Award, and he could be their broadcaster, and La Russa could be the manager.
How about this? Tony La Russa managed the White Sox when I went on the field in the middle of a doubleheader and played T-ball for one inning when I was a kid. He was the manager of the team.
Yeah, no offense, Chuck. Like, I loved my 10-year-old experience as a White Sox fan as well. There's like four things I could point to and pull out of my hat right now that I won't go down that, but I have a 10-year-old son now. And so I want him to have a better experience. You always want to hand down a better version, right? So I want the 10-year-old version of my son, myself, whatever, to have all he's in the perfect groove right now of taking a team that's ready to win and taking it right into like his formative years and handing it off to his generation of kids. And Tony La Russa was great. He was handed to you as a 10-year-old. I don't want to hand that same guy to mine. No.
When Tony La Russa was originally hired by the White Sox, Rick Hahn was 8.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, Guff, there's a beautiful symmetry to that. Now it's not, it would be more like if I had a 10-year-old son, it'd be hilarious because I could be like, you know what? Yep. Johnny, whatever your name is, you're
Johnny Garfine,
my 10-year-old son. My White Sox manager when I was 10 is the same that you have right now.
Yep.
But let me say this. All the candidates, pretty much, certainly the ones that we know of, all have potential strikes against them. Hinch does. I don't think Cora is a candidate, but he's going to have, wherever he goes, he's got strikes because of the cheating scandal. I would say the safest pick, and it's a name no one is talking about, and I don't know if he's necessarily a candidate. He has it in the past, but Sandy Alomar would be the safe pick. And I'm not saying it's the best or the worst pick, but he's out there. He's Latin. He's got a connection with the White Sox. He went 28-18 as acting manager of the Indians this year when Francona was sick. So watch.
Also a red flag.
Because?
Why has he been out there so long? He's been interviewed for
a lot of jobs, correct?
A lot of jobs. Mm-hmm. Yes. You can make the same argument for Davey Martinez for all those years, and he finally got a job and he won the World Series. Right. So,
that's a really good point, Gov. It's a really good point
about the fact that there's red flag, or the fact that he hasn't got an opportunity.
Why hasn't he had an opportunity yet? If he's, but I mean, he was a guy that I kind of thought of when I thought of initial candidates too, because I mean, he has been out there for a long time.
You know what, though? There might be more to it. It might be something like this. Maybe when he was interviewing him, and he interviewed for Renteria's job with the Cubs. I mean, this goes back 6 years. Maybe in 2014, Sandy Alomar wasn't ready to be a manager. But maybe in 2020, he is. You can't just
assume. I mean, it's possible. He's been with the Indians 10 years.
Yeah. I'm sure he's learned a ton.
We just throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks here. You know, okay, so he hasn't got a chance yet, but maybe wasn't ready.
Look, I won't be mad if they hired Sandy Alomar Jr. Don't get me wrong. I would. How could you possibly be mad at a guy who's worked underneath one of the other great managers of all time, in Terry Francona, and has been able to work for a great organization that's been cash strapped and figured out how to develop pitching and all the things that he's learned? It's not a bad hire. And look, you know the guy. I mean, we talk about going outside of the organization. Sandy Alomar, he played for you. So I guess, even further distant relative than Tony La Russa. But you know the guy. You know the guy. So
yeah. It's a little Ozzy-esque when they hired Ozzy. We know him. But we'll see what happens. So we're going to find out eventually. While we're in it, we can only just speculate and just, you know, I wanted to unearth this sound, and thanks again to Bobito for tipping us off to it, to gain some knowledge, some perspective into what's really going on behind the scenes. Because I'd like to think that all the thoughts that you heard in this podcast by Joe Torre, Jerry Reinsdorf, David Dombrowski, and Tony La Russa are still a thing. I mean, this is less than a year later. And it's not like all of a sudden everything's changed. No. Yeah. And if anything, a pandemic has changed. And do you want to go back and manage with this on your plate as well?
You nailed it, Chuck. Like, we haven't even brought up the pandemic. Like, add that to the mix of all the things, already the thoughts that were being said, especially from Dave Dombrowski there. And man, like, that certainly adds like a clouded element that I'm not sure you could overcome, knowing that it's going to continue into 2021.
Because on the surface, okay, if I'm Tony La Russa and I have an opportunity to go back finally after all these years and manage the White Sox, a team that's ready to win, heck yeah, I'm going to think about it. Heck yeah. And I'm going to go through all the thoughts I was going through on this TV show a year ago. And I think when push comes to shove, and then on top of it, even if they get into a room with Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams and they go over all the things and mechanisms it's going to take for this to work, to me, it sounds like in the end, he and or the White Sox, just like Dennis Eckersley said, will say no. So there we go. That's the podcast. And Chris, your son, who's sleeping, right? Still sleeping? Hasn't made a sound.
Yeah, I looked for a minute like he was going to snap out of that, but no, he looks like he's resting again.
I think he was listening to this podcast very intently, and that's what kept him from crying or screaming and
interrupting. I think he said.
Yeah, I think he's soothed to resign to the fact that Tony La Russa won't be a White Sox manager, and so he feels comfortable enough to sleep on that.
That's probably exactly what I was going to say. So I couldn't have said it any better. The thing is, you make the jokes you want about La Russa, but at the end of the day, he does have some considerable credentials and big pluses. I just don't think it's the right move, though.
Didn't something big happen with the White Sox the day he was born?
Yeah. Who?
Your son. It was like you were in the hospital.
He was shares a birthday with Shoeless Joe. Oh, he was born without shoes.
You took a photo. I think the Sox signed somebody that day.
No. I took a video like the minute I turned on the live stream of the game. It was like one of those practice games, I turned on the stream, and seconds later, Robert hit a home run.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, I picked him up and held him, and then right as after I did, Robert hit his first major league homer as well. So he's tied to Luis Robert's success. Maybe I didn't hold him enough towards the end of the season. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, he's growing up a White Sox fan.
Well, he's a La Pantera fan. We're not sure if he's a La Russa fan, but he will always appreciate the history of Tony La Russa and the Chicago.
So one question before we leave.
Yeah.
Just in case it happens. If we get a press release that says Tony La Russa is the next Chicago White Sox manager, what would be like the first thing that comes to your mind?
Me?
All, like every, yeah, everybody here.
Well, I'll go first. I stopped and thought about this for a minute. I'm like, okay, it's a better hire than the last two managers. That's my opinion. And you could do worse. It's maybe not the ideal choice, but it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. It just wouldn't be the best.
My reaction would be, well, first off, I would think of you, Guff, who has not liked this idea at all. But I would say my first reaction would be the White Sox dugout just got smarter, a lot smarter. And he will bring in some brains and make them a smarter, better baseball team. Are they going to be the best baseball team they can be? Those will be unanswered questions. I have no idea how that's all going to manifest itself. I'd like to think that the brains of Rick Hahn and Jeremy Haber and Kenny Williams will have tackled any of the potential issues that everybody listening to this podcast might have with Tony La Russa before making that decision.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have concerns about the forward. I don't know about 2021, but I'm with you that it'll get smarter, but will it be better? And that's the question that I really will. And you want both. You want to be smarter and better. And
yeah. Listen,
call me when it happens.
I'll admit that Tony La Russa is a clash of our ideas of what we were expecting, for sure. But I, as someone who has watched that guy manage for so long and was always like, and I know the game has changed, but to think that Tony La Russa, ever since 2011, has just checked out mentally with baseball is not true. Is he old school? Yes. Will that cause a problem with certain players and fans? Yes. Okay. But I'm all about winning games, and I think he will help them win more games than who we had in the past.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But in the end, I don't think we're going to have this problem, because I really don't think, judging by all those things we just played and talked about, I don't think it's going to end up happening. But if it happens, I would actually be very curious to see how it all unfolds. And that is a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to their special White Sox webpage. It is www.wintrust.com/Sox Talk. Harrelson, the man who fired Tony La Russa in 1986. Take it away.
Thanks, Archuk. And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.